and keep it right between us.
Oh, man. OC. Oh.
Let me tell you something.
Oh,
it doesn't matter where we are.
Yeah.
The uprise comes with us.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. It's the official walkout fight music. Like, the event does not go on.
Boys, man, that's that Ebo. That's the Ebo. That's the Ebo up front.
And I'm Ebo.
You're definitely Ebo.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. Simon, I appreciate that, because if it wasn't for you, Simon, we would not have.
We wouldn't have uprise.
Yeah, we would. There'd be a lot of things, and I think we need to start off. All right, we're the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the top of the mountain.
Yes.
Now, our friend Simon and his other compadre who has immigration issues.
Why does he have to be compadre?
Because he's got immigration issues.
I'm surprised Chris made it in.
You thought they were going to stop Chris?
I mean, you know what the president is doing.
Listen.
You know the president of the United States is doing.
We didn't want to, you're our friend, and we love you. He said he squeezed right through. We're here, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But we're doing the podcast. I mean, we do the games, we do all the stuff. But this is what we've done the podcast at the Super Bowl. How many Super Bowls, Simon? How many Super Bowls have you done this podcast?
Twice.
Two or three?
Two.
Two.
This is only the second one.
No.
This is the third.
This is the third.
See, he forgot.
And I gotta say, Simon needs to get a lot of love for this.
He does,
because he said one day to us, "I want to film you and record you too.
Yeah,
talking like you always do.
Yeah."
I find it interesting.
Mm.
I think other people will too.
Mm-hmm. That's the
genesis of our podcast, which is probably our favorite thing to do.
I would say
one
so.
Of them.
I'll say it has to be the top thing that we.
Yeah,
do.
It. We had the live event.
Yeah,
is that our first cool. one since the live event? Man,
that was crazy.
Shout out to everybody that came, and even those that didn't. It was your. Aura was in the room.
Yes, it was.
It was fun. And my man, OC, I go out with OC all the time. Big dinners. Have a good time. Mm. He doesn't drink. He only drinks on special occasions, and that tells you how special that was.
They made me drink a whole pint.
And you did. And
you know
what's
so funny? I didn't know that is what they call a pint. I had no clue. So somebody was like, yo, you just drank a whole pint. I was like, I drank a whole pint, because I thought a pint was like a big jug. Like a big jug of beer, but I didn't know a pint was just like
that's
a glass.
Pint. And you hit it. You did it like you had been doing it your whole life.
You know what I mean?
Zero hesitation.
Yeah.
No problems.
Zero.
You know what you are? You're a guy that when the game and the lights are on, it's just not too big for you.
I will rise to the occasion.
It's not too big for you.
I will rise to the occasion.
I was upset because I thought I was going to win that. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
But so, I'll tell you this.
We're sitting over here right now.
Right.
And I see a guy by the name of Joe Thomas to the right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, break down to everybody where we are, OC. First of all, give them what we're doing.
We are in Madness.
Yes.
Is what it's called. This is the Radio Row, is what they like to call it. It's where everybody, all the media and
from around the world,
come.
Right?
Yeah. So it's a lot going on. And we're sitting next to Joe Thomas. And the only thing I can think of when I see Joe Thomas is I played against Joe Thomas one time.
One of the best offensive tackles in football his whole career.
He shut me down completely.
No.
Completely.
Did you look at each other in the eye as you walked by?
Nah, like when I saw him kind of put his head down, because you know, like when you shut somebody down, you don't want to, you kind of don't want to look at them too hard, because inside you already know you did what you needed to do. So he just kind of gave me that look like, yeah,
so
I shut you down.
He didn't even front on you. And he didn't. Now.
I didn't sniff the quarterback.
Okay,
man.
To
I was
your
nowhere
point,
around him.
We've walked through here, the media row, media center, players, all the big players are here, walking through. OC. You know, people coming up to you, giving you love, recognizing greatness.
That's so weird to me.
And you and him didn't look at each other.
Nah, we didn't.
Why is that weird to you?
Because
seriously,
I got to be honest with you, because it just is. Because it's been 5 years now since I played, and then. Like, okay, we're starting to get, like, recognition in London now, in England. But when you're so removed from it and then you come back, you're like, how do these people still know who I am? You understand what I mean? Like, you just kind of forget.
Yes.
You know,
I know
you
what you mean.
Forget how the whole – and so I'm looking. I'm like, people on the street are like, what's he? And I'm like, how do they – it's been 5 years.
But you forget your impact on the game. Your name is in a stadium. Let's just start there.
Yeah.
Your name's in a stadium. You dethroned the greatest franchise in our era.
True.
And you were the reason why that happened. You and your unit was the reason that happened. And yeah. another thing I need you to remember, and everybody that has met you knows, people from the league, they know good people. Because yeah. they always say, when you retire, it shows what kind of person you were when you played by the way they treat you.
True.
And a True. Person who is in your at your level of success, people come up to you and they talk to you in a way because you respected them.
Always.
Your whole career.
Yeah.
And I think that, yes, being a good player, it stands on high ground, but being a good person is why people continue to want to congratulate you, I think.
Speaking of legacy, let's get into something. Before we get into the Super Bowl and the matchups, let's get into something tragic that just happened.
Yeah, man. We have to.
Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other people perished in a helicopter crash. Now, when I first heard it, I think it was James. James sent me a message. He was like, Kobe died in a helicopter crash. I couldn't process that information because Kobe was my favorite. I'm talking about I liked him more than Jordan. I liked him more than anybody.
He was our era's Jordan.
Yeah. And he was my guy. And so you see somebody like that pass away so tragically at such a relatively young age. It was really difficult for me to process that. Man, his story it didn't seem like he was supposed to end that way, right? But then I got to thinking about life. I got to thinking about death. I got to thinking about a bunch of different things. And here's the thing, J-Bell. Every one of us, as morbid as this is going to sound, every one of us must pass away. It must happen. There's no avoiding that. So in some form or fashion, life is a part of death because you must die. So if that's the case, all we really have is what we leave on Earth, our legacy, how we're remembered. You understand? Like, that's pretty much all we... Every single thing we do, all these monuments, it's all for
legacy.
How we're going to be remembered. And if you look at the outpouring of love and all the emotions that happened when Kobe Bryant passed, you kind of realize he did what he was supposed to do on this earth. There's nothing more he could have... The impact he had on people. The impact he had on people. If he lived another 40 years and something, it wouldn't have been what we just witnessed with his passing right now. Like, the love, the support. People were in mourning because of this.
Yeah.
Because of his greatness. Because of what this man left behind. And so I'm sad for his daughter. I'm sad for pretty much everybody. But he did what he needed to do on this earth, man. He absolutely did.
It's that whole thing where I'm still numb.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to celebrate his life.
What's up, Russ? How you doing, bro?
You have to celebrate his life,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the thing, man. You think about when it comes to that, you always think of what that person meant to you or what they did to you. And the outpouring is because so many people felt he impacted their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And even players, you hear the stories coming out with his peers and things of that nature. I mean, to be honest, OC, I haven't processed this the way I want to.
Yeah.
Because the distraction of this week at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like I need to go sit in a room somewhere. You know, when I was at UCLA as a freshman, Kobe just had got drafted to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming out of high school, so obviously they wanted him to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in classes with me in the summer.
Wow.
And it's like,
are you serious?
He was in classes with us for just the summer, and then he stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And all I remember was he was an 18-year-old kid just like us. I remember Kobe giving me his pager number.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but he was just
He's a cool dude.
And I remember seeing him years later in Orange County, because I lived down there, at a restaurant. He's sitting at the bar by himself, and I reminded him of that. Of course, he didn't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, listen, all these, like I said, I haven't got a grip of it, but the one thing it did do for me is you think about the things that are important to you, mm-hmm. and all these things, the one thing that matters the most is your time.
Yeah.
And I tell you, man, you are a person who always, even when we might have a disagreement on how to allocate time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it makes a lot of sense, because you're like, that's what you got.
That's
like,
all you got.
That's what I got to do. And I'm going to be around people I like. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do things I like. Mm-hmm. And because, yeah, J. Bell, this makes sense, but it doesn't make sense when it comes to time.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I thought, is that resource we all have, everybody listening to this right now, the one thing we all have personally is our time.
That's
and
it.
Every day we get to spend that however you want. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much you don't got. You got that day of time.
That's it.
And that's valuable. And that's, bruh, like I said, I still got to wrap my hands around it, but mm-hmm. I'm challenging the way I think about things.
Another person who was very special passed away. And a lot of people, a lot of, you know, fans in the NFL, people listening to this might not know who he is in the NFL UK.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Chris Dolman.
Defensive
master
lineman.
Pass rusher. Master pass
Man.
Rusher.
Master.
And I got to tell you a story about Chris Dolman that a lot of people don't know.
When did Chris retire? Mid-90s?
No.
Early
like
90s?
Early, like, yeah, late 90s. Maybe.
Late 90s, late 90s, yeah.
And yeah. So Chris was a fantastic player, fantastic pass rusher.
Yeah.
Now, I met Chris Dolman for the first time at the East-West Shrine game when I was coming out of college. And I had a pair of gray sweatpants. And I saw Chris. I couldn't believe it. I ran up to him. I was like, Chris, can you sign these sweatpants for me? And he took out the pen and signed his name, Chris Dolman 56, on my gray sweatpants. Jay Bell, you know something crazy? That is the only autograph I've ever had in my life.
Are you serious?
Swear to God.
Like, well.
All the people wow. I've met, everywhere I've been, I've never asked anybody for an autograph. The only person I ever asked for an autograph was Chris Dolman.
Well, you sure shot for the top of the mountain.
Oh, my God. And, like, I'm so angry that I don't know where those sweatpants are anymore. Like, it makes me sick to my stomach, because that is literally the only autograph that I have in my whole life was Chris Dolman. So when I heard he passed away, it was, you know, I didn't even know he was struggling.
Sick, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know. It was like so quiet, but it's just a terrible, terrible situation, man. Thoughts and prayers go out to his family, his old family members, and I'll never forget him simply because of the great player he was, the great person he was, and the fact that he's the only autograph that I've ever had in my whole life.
Man, that's sitting here right now and having this conversation is fascinating, because what we just talked about with Kobe, now what we're talking about with Chris Dolman, I mean, people impact people's lives in
yeah.
ways that they, the big stuff is there. It's mm. it's out there. It's for people to see, but it's the little things.
Mm.
That's what you remember.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Dolman has so much success. He did so many wonderful things on the field, but those sweatpants,
yep.
you think he thought about those sweatpants?
Nah.
He
Not
might have,
all.
But I don't think so.
Not at all. I saw him in the movie theater a couple of years ago,
uh-huh.
and I reminded him. He was with his wife, and he saw me. He was like, oh, O.C., you mean you're right? Because, you know, he knew me as
the same player.
But I reminded him of
how it started.
How it all started. He didn't even remember. He didn't even remember. And, like, I was so in awe, and I could tell that he was, because he was with his wife,
right.
you know. And so, you know, when you get older, and, you know, people might not recognize you anymore like that.
Yeah.
But the way I went to him, and I was like, yo.
Like he had just got off the field.
Exactly. And, you know, I reminded him about what happened in front of his wife, and she was smiling. And it was like a really cool moment for me. It was a cool moment for him. And he said the same thing you said. He was like, you don't think about the little things that you do, and then look at who you turned into.
The impact.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Warwick Dunn, the running
yeah.
back for Atlanta Falcons, and Deshaun Watson, and Warwick Dunn donates the homes to single single parent mothers, and Deshaun Watson got one of those homes, right? Mm-hmm. And he said that that changed the trajectory of his life.
It's crazy.
Like this, that changed because he got in this environment. He had a great parent. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that. It gave him the stability of a home, which is what all parents want to do for their kids. And you think that this kid is now on this platform where all he's going to do is want to give back. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think this podcast is going an interesting way. And I like it. Because, okay, we're here, right? We're here. Mm-hmm. The epicenter of the NFL. I mean, this is it, right? So when you think back on your career, because I've had moments and it's just where I am now, and I look at things that happened when I played, and if one thing goes differently, it changes the way, my mentality,
yeah.
You know, how I feel about myself and to go execute whatever it is that that life has to offer. As you sit here, life is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's probably retirement is not what you imagined.
Mm-hmm.
You're working a lot harder than you thought you were going to work. Uh-huh. You were going to chill. When you look back, the Super Bowls, the this, the that, and you're here and you went back, like, what is the thing that you think, like, I'm glad I did this because I could have did something else. Mm-hmm. But because I did, like, something that it was I don't want to say it was a challenge or an obstacle, but a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a simple, something small, something large.
Yeah.
You know?
Whenever it comes to stuff like that, the main thing that always comes to my mind was literally high school. And you're going to see Jimbo later.
Yep. Your brother?
Yeah, my brother Jimbo.
Who I love hanging with.
Yeah.
Jimbo, holler at your boy.
And most people don't understand that because Nigerian parents and Nigerian families were so education-oriented, right? Orientated. I was in high school, my grades slipped a little bit, and Jimbo was like, you can't play football anymore. And he made me quit the team.
Mm.
And so I really wasn't that good, but I was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe I'll quit. But then maybe like after like 2 days, I went to my sister. I was like, listen, I'm really not that good, but I kind of like this. Please let me play. It was during the season.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, no. So a week went by where they played. I didn't play. And I just kept on begging. I was like, please let me play. Please. And eventually she was like, you know what? Go ahead, man. Go play. And I went back out there. It could have been so easy, J-Bell, for me to been like, let me focus on my work.
Together.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about the NFL. No, NFL, who, what?
Especially you.
Yeah.
It wasn't even in your...
It wasn't even my thing.
Your subconscious at all.
And so the fact that I decided to do that and I ended up where I ended up is just... It's crazy, man. What about yourself?
You know, I had one thought, but I think I just changed it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to high school and then remind me to tell you about my last game in the pros.
Okay.
And this is real. And I think junior high school, I had grade problems. So that's like in the UK. So that's like 12, 13, 14.
Okay.
I just wasn't on my A game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember going into high school and you had to have a GPA to play sports.
Yes.
And I loved the game. OC, I never had a grade problem for the rest of my life.
Because you love the game that much. But like,
And that's why I talk about this game. It's like, I was young. I didn't know. I had influences, all kind of stuff, distractions. But this sport, which I didn't care 2 cents about going pro,
yeah.
I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
I remember kids talking about, man, I can't wait to make it to the NFL. I was like, I just want to start in high school. And then when I started in high school, I was like, I don't want to stop playing at 18, so I got to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was in college, and I thought, I really want to keep playing this game, so I need to go pro. It wasn't an ends to a mean. It was just like I'm taking steps up a stair.
I just
want to keep this thing going, just like what we're doing now. You know, it's the same kind of thing. But in the pros, it was different, man. I remember we're in the playoffs against Philly, year before the Super Bowl, and I had to move to corner because we had some issues, and I had been playing safety all year. I had a good year. I had an interception to get us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm leaving on a high note.
Yeah.
I'm in the game, and Garcia was the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And because McNabb was hurt.
Yes.
And he looks at me, Jeff Garcia, and he goes, I see him whisper, 33's at corner.
Wow.
The attack happens.
They start coming at you.
Sam Madison, who is our good friend who's coaching for Kansas City Chiefs, one of the DB coaches, comes to me, him and R.W. McCord is the other corner, and they looked at me and they said, it's your day today, bro. They're not even looking at us. They are attacking you. Mm. And I was like, I took a deep breath. Our buddy Will Demps is at safety. And I'm like, man, I had such a good year, like one of my best years. Yeah. Now I look back at it, I had you in Strand, so it was a lot easier. But I remember Dante Stallworth, the receiver.
Yeah.
He cuts me in a run block, hits me in my knee, hits me bad. I fall, and my knee was really hurt. Mm. I banged up. I was like, and I went out for a play. I was like, getting my knee together. They put in Dockery. Mm. And they didn't want him in. He's a good corner, but he was young. And I saw them throw a double move at Dockery. And this is why they were catching the ball on me, because I knew what they were doing. The footing was bad. Mm. And they almost beat him for a touchdown. Mm. But in my mind, I was like, that's what I'm planning for. And something triggered. And I said, I can play, but I'm hurt. Mm-hmm. So if I go out, nobody's going to say anything. And I had a good year.
Yeah.
If I go in and I don't have a good game, that whole season doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
This all happened in 10 seconds, right?
Gotcha.
It feels like an hour.
Gotcha.
I go back in. End up having a really good game. Almost had an interception. Mm-hmm. I dropped. I mean, I played pre. And they were attacking me, you know.
Yeah.
I got us off the field on some third downs. It was on me.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's the last game I played in.
That's crazy.
What if I would have tapped out?
Out.
I've never said this. I'm giving this to our people.
Yeah.
Now, everything I've done, all the challenges I've had in going into finance and in television, there's many times you have to talk to me about, J-Bell, be yourself, do this, and help me through.
Yeah.
What if inside I know I'm a quitter?
It'll come out.
It'll come out. But because that was my last game and I know I'm not a quitter, I just keep grinding.
That's cool, bro.
It's crazy. Yeah. But I think sitting here, media day, when everybody's, you know, all these players are chasing the thing that you've gotten twice, you have to sit back and recognize the decisions you made and pick out the good ones.
Yeah.
People are too hard on themselves.
They are
too hard on themselves. Pick out the good achievements you've done where you know nobody knows. You know you won that fight.
Mm.
It could be simple, man. Mm. Little stuff, but it just means a lot.
Who's going to win this fight on Sunday, J-Bell? Who is going to win this fight
the transition.
On Sunday?
All right, so real talk. You every time you give me a nugget,
mm-hmm.
every time I need a, you always come through with a nugget on your analysis out of nowhere, and it's like you. I joke at you. I'm like doing all this research, and you're like, you're doing it too. But then you just come with something. I'm like, it's changed my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I've been leading towards San Fran because I'm a D-line guy. I mean, I understand the dominance of a defensive front and what they can do. I feel like San Francisco overall is a better team on paper, just player by player, more balanced. And I love Kyle Shanahan. I think he's got the best players that fit his scheme.
Mm.
But so does Kansas City. It's a track team on offense and the best quarterback in the game to me. And I say that because look where he is.
Yeah.
But I was still thinking San Fran because I have faith in this D-line. I've seen what you did. I understand that. Then you told me something today while we were filming. And I need you to say that right now because that literally scared me out of my decision. And we were talking about how do you stop a dominant D-line because I'm like, man, how are you going to stop these guys? They're going to get at Patrick Mahomes. They're going to put him down. They're going to, even though he's mobile, you know, you cut the head off a snake, all those kind of things.
Mm.
And you said, well, this is what Andy Reid did to us.
Yeah.
Break that down.
So we're playing Philly 07. We play them the first game in New York, and this is the record-breaking day that everybody talks about, 12 sacks.
Yeah, yeah. And you brutalize an individual.
At 6 sacks that particular game.
Yeah, frightening.
So we go to Philly later on because we played them twice that year. It's a division game. We played them twice. We go to Philly, and next thing you know, they had come up with a scheme that we had never seen before. They had started the line, a tight end, not right next to the offensive tackle, maybe like a yard away. Now, as a defensive lineman, that throws everything off of you because you don't know where to line up. If you line up inside the tight end,
yep.
You're too close to the tackle, you can't rush. If you line up outside the tight end, you're too wide, you can't get there.
No man's land.
Yeah, and sometimes if you line up inside, he'll chip you. And then sometimes he won't chip you. So you're lined up, and then you're looking around because you don't really know what's going on. You don't know if he's going to chip you. You can't rush because you're too close to the offense. It threw everything off. And they'll do it tight end to one side, then the receiver. Mm. They'll line the receiver up right there too. But the receiver's job, he wasn't going to hit you at all. He was just specifically to throw off your alignment.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just going to mess up your alignment. You didn't know what to do.
Because even if he releases his route kind of near you, you don't know if he's chipping you, whatever.
Whatever. And he's just there. And so that really slowed. I think we might have had like 2 sacks after that. And then every time we would play Philly, the sack numbers weren't big at all anymore because they were doing that. The New Orleans Saints started to do that exact same thing. And so it threw everything off. So this morning when we were talking, I was like, Kansas City coach is Andy Reid. He's seen real dominant defensive lines before. Like, he's seen the best of the best. Some of the best unit to ever play, he's seen them. And he figured out a way to slow them down. So he's not just going to sit back there and allow the San Francisco 49ers to tee off on his quarterback. He's seen D-lines before.
The best.
He's seen the best. He's going to come up with a plan. Now, conversely, San Francisco, from what I've seen, they have recognized that the strength of their team is their defensive line. So they do things to take away your ability to max protect. They do things to take away your ability to slide. Mm-hmm. They do things to give their defensive linemen an advantageous situation. Mm-hmm. They do those things. They walk the linebackers up. They disguise.
Right.
They do all these different things to make you declare what you're going to do on offense. So there's going to be a cat and mouse game between somebody who's trying to protect his quarterback and the other guy, the defense coordinator, who recognizes his defensive line must get there. And they're going to go back and forth, man. It's going to be a fascinating game.
To all our podcastians. Mm. That is not a word, is it?
Podcastings?
Podcastians.
Yeah. Podcastians.
Our peoples.
The people who listen.
Yeah.
Podcastians.
Does that work?
It works for me. I enjoy it. I enjoy podcasting.
Simon says okay? Okay. Yeah. That's the nugget. Everybody, when we watch this game, and luckily, because that's in frame,
yep.
And you're watching it on the Biebs, listening to us, mm-hmm. We're going to be able to dive into that because this is your – we're going to see that early, mm-hmm. And we're going to be able to see who is winning that battle. This is so fascinating. I mean, every Super Bowl, you come on and shine like that because, you know, it's usually elite pass rushers are there.
Yeah.
So tune in. Me and OC are going to break that down. That will be the matchup. That is whoever wins that phase pulls out this game, right?
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Simon's coming in. What's he coming in with? What does he got?
He's got our notes.
He got our notes.
He's got the notes.
He's got official cards, too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. He actually gave me one.
Oh.
When did this begin?
Well, usually you work too hard.
When did this start?
You work too hard. I mean, you know, you're doing a lot of things right now, OC, so I got to step it up, okay? Uh-huh. You're doing a lot of things.
All right.
Should I go first?
Go ahead.
Hashtag ask my man OC, and then ask your boy Jay Bell. Mm. Only Dave asks, Jay Bell, have you been out in Miami with Harrison Smith and who paid? Harrison actually gets in tonight. He's driving down.
He's driving down. From Minnesota?
From Tennessee.
Oh, from Tennessee. From Tennessee. He lives in Tennessee?
Yes, in off season.
Why?
He's from there.
He's from there.
Yeah, he's from there. He's from there. And goes to Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
But he went to a Catholic high school in Tennessee, so going to Notre Dame. He's driving down here, and Harry will split it. He'll pay. Who knows?
Yeah.
Harry's
got that big money now, though.
He does.
He
does.
Be able to
but
pay.
He's very OC-like in the fact that he is very chill. There's no flash. He likes having a good time, but he's not flashy. All my rich friends are not
never
flashy.
Never really seen – I got to be honest with you. I've never one time in my life seen a white player who's flashy. I've just never seen it before.
I think you're right.
Never seen it. It's like they know. They're like, listen, I'm just going to hold on to my bread. I'm going to let y'all spend your money on
I'll go with you.
Yeah, I'll go with you. But y'all spend your money on nonsense.
Okay.
We had a guy in the NFL by the name of Eli Manning.
Oh, God.
Made almost $300 million driving a Toyota Sequoia.
Every day. I remember pulling in with my car thinking.
Toyota Sequoia.
Thinking, I'm tripping.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's driving that, yeah. And I know what I'm making, yeah. And I got this. Something's not right.
You got
I just pulled over far to the left.
You got guys who got drafted in the fourth round, 300,000 signing
bonus. With the big body
bands. With the big body bands. Some of them even got Rolls Royce. They spent their entire check on a Rolls Royce. And you got the man who made $300 million.
Coming
in with a Toyota Sequoia.
Happy as can be.
And he's just filthy rich.
Yeah.
It's just, I've never seen a white player who spends his money frivolously. Like, never. When they do the 30 for 30 broke, it's usually all black. It's all black. It's all black guys.
Oh my God.
It's all black guys.
Let me take it a turn for the worst.
No, tell me. Tell me when you saw on 30 for 30, whenever you hear about all these athletes who made stupendous amount of money, which all black guys.
Well, listen, this is why I have a
career. It's Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. They spending all that bread.
What is it? Simon's pointing at something.
He wants me to get off the subject. No.
Did somebody?
You're
flashing.
You see what I mean?
OC does have a big watch.
But let me tell you, no, this is the NFL UK's money that bought this one.
Oh.
So it doesn't count.
It
doesn't count. This is NFL UK's
money.
And
I'm waiting for him to sell it to me. That's the game plan. OC buys it, and then I sell it at a discount. You know, go ahead.
All these black athletes. All their money.
I can't. How do we go from... I just don't know
spending
how we got
all day
here.
Bread,
I just
man.
Don't know how we got here.
Spending all day bread. You got to cut that nonsense
cut
out.
Cut it out, man.
Man.
Listen to Marshawn. He told you. Protect your money.
Chicken.
Yes.
Confused of Colchester. Just catching up on all the old podcasts. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
The Michael Strahan episode is hilarious and so insightful. Yes, it was. Confused.
It was. And
it was really dope.
It was. Those guys had so much fun in that room. Coming from another team and watching how y'all interacted was just – it made me – that was good culture. It was great culture in that locker room. It really was.
It was.
Stella C. asks, what are your thoughts on Richard Sherman and the experience he will bring on Sunday? Oh, you know what? It's going to be big because the secondary as a whole, he's probably the only one who's been there in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think he will do is let them understand what the moment is, right? What did you do when you had guys that hadn't been in the game, you had the experience? What was the thing you told them about it?
Yeah, just you got to lock in. I think you can't let the Super Bowl and all the festivities affect you. You have to literally treat this like it's just another game. And if you go in that with that mentality, I think it's hard to do because of everything that's going on around, but you go to practice, you practice your ass off.
Got to be ready.
Quick. You study, you focus, you do everything that you did to get you to that point. And I think experience, people who've been experienced can tell you exactly that. Man, I think he's going to be big. I think he's going to be big for him.
I like it. Your question now, see, I think got one more.
Pepe Pete.
Ooh, I like that.
Pepe Pete. Any memories of Miami, OC? Maybe a legendary night out or just a beatdown of the
Don't.
Dolphins.
Nothing too legendary.
I'm not going there, man.
That man single-handedly dominated Miami. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Literally, it's still to this day my favorite city in the world.
I got a story.
Tell me. I love Miami.
Playing in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Teammate. My second year, so I haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. We got a victory Monday.
Okay.
He goes, he had come from the Jets, and now he's in Miami. I mean, in Houston with me. Oh, we're flying to Miami. I was like, what? I've never done. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know this. Oh, we're flying to Monday. On the flight back, he books my ticket.
Wow.
Literally, flying out to Monday. We have so much fun. Mm-hmm. And this guy has so much fun.
Yeah.
I saw him when I landed.
Mm-hmm.
We went to dinner. I didn't see the man until we got on the airplane.
Wow.
I showed up to the airport. I thought, we got practice.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We had so much fun and went so hard, he just disappeared. He disappeared, OC.
That's crazy.
I had to get on a plane without him. I felt like a bad friend. And he comes in the last person. And it was like seeing your daddy or something. I was so happy. That's like,
so
anyways,
cool,
I had to leave a lot out there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Katie, David, Mark, Jane all say, thanks for the beer. OC.
I got you, man. Listen, anytime we do those things, I'm buying beer for everybody.
We got to do that again, right?
I wouldn't mind it.
I mean, that was really nice. Simon probably wasn't happy. But we got to keep Simon happy. We got to keep Simon. Chris was definitely happy because he wasn't there.
Really
but
nice.
He'll be there next time.
Oh, I got one more.
You got one more. Oh, I thought I was saying I was, you know.
JK, where were you when the helmet catch happened, OC?
Ooh. I was on the sidelines. What did anything happen in your stomach in particular? Was it just?
The funny thing is, like, I don't really remember seeing it. You know, I was kind of looking, but. It's like I saw, like, them grab Eli, and I was just like,
what? He's like, oh.
And then all of a sudden, I just saw him catch the ball. And I was like, oh, it's crazy. So the whole play, to be completely honest with you, I don't really remember much about that night.
You shouldn't, my brother.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. Well, I tell you what, man. There's a lot of lights. There's a lot of people. A lot of cameras, a lot of flashing, a lot of conversations. We're in it, man.
We are.
Another year bringing it to you wonderful
Uprise.
People at the crib in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Uprise all day. Please tune in to watch us live. We are going to give you our A game with Mark Chapman. OC has given us the insight. I wrote it down in my brain because he always gives us a nugget. Before the game, holla at your boys. Appreciate the love. Uprise, we are out.
I like this song right here.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
They're all good songs. That's the problem. Did you see people love the Uprise? Did you see people when the Uprise came on?
They went nuts for the Uprise.
What? Can't wait for tomorrow, tomorrow's never done. Shout out to Simon.
Can't wait till tomorrow, tomorrow.